right, welcome. Let's get this service going. If you would, if you take your hymnals out, turn to hymn number 138 in the blue hymnal, 138. Welcome, and then welcome on the live stream. We've got our kids program tonight. 138, would you stand too, please, as we sing, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful."
It's good to see everyone this evening. Good to have guests here with us, grandparents and friends, and looking forward to the work, seeing the work that the children have put in over the past few months, and as well as other things. Tonight, we'll enjoy the children, and looking forward to that. Pray for them. Pray that they don't get too nervous or miss or forget their lines, but those things also are a blessing to see as well, so look forward to all of it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. And then following that, we will take up an offering tonight. We don't expect our visitors or givers. Glad that you're here. We'll take up our evening offering. And we did mention in a text this afternoon about Brother Pittman and the need that he had flying back to Chile. The situation there is the airlines aren't traveling into Chile right now, so they gave him vouchers to leave at a future time. They won't refund his money, but he needs to be back in January for his visa. And so that's the issue with that. But I know some are giving tonight. If you are going to give towards that, make sure you mark it that that's what it's for, and we'll get that to him. But we'll also be taking up an offering at a future time for that. We won't take the time this evening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And a minute, if you'd come forward, we'll pray, and following the offering this evening, we'll turn it over to the children's choir. Father, we do thank you for your blessings upon us. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, I ask that you would bless the children this evening as they sing, as they perform this cantata. Lord, that you would just help them, help their any nerves they might have, that they would be calm, that they would just serve you through this. And I pray that you would speak to every heart here. Father, you pray that you would bless this offering. We thank you for the blessing it is to be able to give. And God, I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us in providing for our needs. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hurry, you guys. Come on. We're on there in just 1 minute. We're late. Hurry. Everybody get to your places. Okay. All right. Don't put your coat on top of mine. All right. Mr. Miller, you can sit there. Rich. All right, remember, people, this is radio station WARM, so don't be a cold fish. Put some feeling into it, and that's an order. We're on in just 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're on the air. Hit it.
This is WARM 88.5 FM, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
There's a mother's theme.
welcome to our 25th annual children's broadcast of Christmas on the Air, coming to you from beautiful downtown Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that is. Thank you for tuning in tonight and making us a part of your holiday tradition. It's the eve of December 23rd. Christmas is almost here, so sit back, get comfortable, and sing along as we remember that very special night long, long ago. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without children, so now the Radio Kids Choir is coming to sing The Animals Round the Manger. Now be sure to use your imagination, and you might even hear some talking animals.
Thank you. This program for the past 25 years, and I do believe that you just heard the best children's choir we've ever had. That was a great job, kids. Well, I know, and you know, that animals can't really talk. But what if they could? What if animals had been able to tell the story? This evening for our children's podcast, let's allow our imaginations to wander back to a night more than 2,000 years ago. What might they have said if donkey, cow, sheep, and dove had been able to tell the story of the lowly stable strewn with hay?
Ooh, I never saw a human so weary as that lady.
Bad night it was for her, but donkey, you should know how far she came. For you came that far yourself. How long were you on the road with that sad-faced man and that weary mother?
Don't bother me. I'm eating. Hee-haw!
Oh, I'm so glad I'm only a bird. Sitting on my nest and singing to my brood is so much sweeter than traveling miles and miles to a strange city far from home.
Listen here, Dovey. You don't know the half of it. It's a rough road between here and Nazareth, where Joseph and Mary set out. Those are their names. Joseph, he's a good man, a carpenter. He smells of sawdust most days, but he's been kind to me. Been kind to Mary, too. She was a spouse to him when news came of the baby.
Bah. A spouse? Is that good or bad?
Hee-haw, silly sheep. A spouse means she was to be his wife, and so she is. Now that he's taken her, they'll go back home once the taxes are paid to see their good, the Gusty. He's the reason why they had to come here.
Did you say the Gusty?
Uh-huh. They call him Augustus, but if you ever heard him speak, you know it should be the Gusty. Hee-haw, but I don't know how they'll pay anything to anyone. Dirt poor they are.
My, how peaceful the little mother looks lying there.
Oh, have voice is surely the sweetest sound the little one waiting to be born has ever heard. So soft and smooth and soothing. She makes me want to sing a lullaby too.
Why don't you sing us all to sleep tonight, Dove?
This is WARM 88.5 FM. We'll be right back with more Christmas on the Air.
Okay, cut. Roll the Christmas music. Now, everybody listen up. We've got 2 minutes and 9 seconds till we're back on the air, so don't wander off. Robert, where is my triple shot latte?
Oh.
Really lucky and keep drinking enough water, and maybe we'll keep up this donkey voice all the way through tomorrow night's program.
Well, no one can do a donkey quite as naturally as you, Rich, and you've got a great radio face, too.
Hee-haw!
Voice sounds good so far.
I'll be fine, but this is the last time I agreed to do a radio drama at Christmas. Only one more shopping day left, and where am I while all the stores are open? Stuck at our radio station playing... Well, let's just say it's not the most flattering character I've ever played.
Oh, stop complaining. It's no wonder you have to play a donkey the way you huff and puff around here. As if you're the only one who has Christmas shopping left to do. How about you, Steph? Got all your Christmas presents wrapped and ready?
Actually, I haven't started yet.
You haven't started? You better get a move on.
It looks like we're just gonna have a lean Christmas at our house.
Your dad still hasn't found a job?
No, not yet.
What a time of year to be out of work. I'm sorry he hasn't found something. Your mom is still cleaning houses to make ends meet, though, right?
Yes, and she's really glad it's Christmas. It seems like everybody wants a house cleaning this week. She's so tired. She has 3 houses to clean just today.
Excuse me.
Oh, hello there. Can we help you?
Are you the radio actors?
That would be us.
Well, then I have something for you.
Well, we're about to go back on the air. Can you wait till the break?
I guess I can wait a little bit.
I've never thought of myself as an actor, but I guess I'm the only radio broadcast journalism major in school with experience in radio drama.
Yeah, you're a radio actress now. Should really help your job prospects to list Dove of Bethlehem on your resume. Might get your career off to a flying start.
Very funny.
All right, everyone back to their places. Now remember, this scene is supposed to be very close, like we're all crowded together.
All right, break's over, you guys. Now listen up, that first scene was pretty good, I guess, but you need more joy, more Christmas spirit. All right, we're on in just 5 seconds. Everybody get to their places. Five, four, three, two, one. We're on the air. Hit it.
WARM will warm your heart.
This is WARM 88.5 FM, bringing you Christmas on the air.
Travelers were tired and worn. There a shepherd sheltered them all through the night, and Jesus the Christ was born. All the angels sang heaven's praises ring, and the stars shone glorious and bright. A new age had come with the birth of God's Son. That night. As the shepherds gathered to worship the child, beholding the wondrous sight, hope and joy had come through the gift of God's Son, and everything changed that night. All the angels sang heaven's praises ring, and the stars shone glorious and bright. A new age had come with the birth of God's Son. For everything changed that night. God came to earth to give us new birth. Give him the glory and praise. Honor we bring to Jesus our King. He is the Ancient of Days. All the angels sing heaven's praises ring, and the stars shone glorious and bright. A new age had come with the birth of God's Son, for everything changed that night.
Everything changed that night.
Everything changed that night. Lift up your voice, let us rejoice. Everything.
Welcome back, all you listeners out there in Radio Land. Now let's return to the manger of Bethlehem, where everything is very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the middle of the night. I say, let's forget about the sound and go back to sleep.
Maybe we should. But Dove said she was sure she heard a strange noise in the inner stall. It woke you up, right, Dove?
Oh, the noise was so unusual. It sounded like no animal I've ever heard before.
Bah. But you don't hear anything now?
Maybe it will come again soon. Listen.
Nothing as far as I can hear.
No, I don't hear it now either.
Move over so I can hold my ear close.
Back down, cow. Your place is at the bottom of the wooden gate between the boards. It may be tight, but we all have to share the space.
I still say she didn't hear anything.
Oh, I'm sure I heard a still small cry.
Maybe so, and maybe not. But it's pitch black in the inner stall, and if we can't see anything, we might as well settle back in our separate stalls.
Oh, there it is. A tiny voice, so soft and low.
Like no animal I've ever heard.
Look, the man has lit an oil lamp to bring to his wife.
She's holding something like she's afraid she'll lose it. I thought you said they had nothing of value on them, donkey.
It's the truth. They brought nothing with them.
Well, they surely have something now. Will you look at that? It's a little hand, fingers stretching up as if to reach for the star that shines so brightly through the window. Look at the tiny fingernails and the rosy rounded elbow of the little arm. Aw, she's bundled him up in some tufts of wool for me.
I can't see the face. Dove, can you?
No, she's holding the bundle too close to be seen.
Maybe with the rising sun, we'll see the precious treasure. Donkey, why did they come to our stable on such a night as this, with a baby on the way?
Well, they asked to stay in the inn, but there was no place for them.
No place for such a little mother about to give birth? I'll never understand humans. We're only barn creatures, but we all have a home when our young ones arrive.
Say, friend, let's think about what we just heard. Why do you think there was no room for Mary and Joseph? Was the innkeeper a hard man who cared nothing for weary families? I don't think so. I imagine he was something like you and me. A decent man, a busy man. It's not that he didn't care, he just didn't know. Why, if an angel had come to tell him that God's only begotten son was to be born that night, would he have found a bed for them? I'm sure he would. But he didn't know. This Christmas, may we be willing to help someone, just as we would help Jesus if he were the one in need. Remember, we worship Christ by reaching out to others in his name.
Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night on Christmas Eve for the conclusion of Christmas on the Air. We close tonight's broadcast with a special number for all you children out there in Radio Land.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus saying that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and laid him in a, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger because there were no room for them in the inn.
And they were in the same country, separate, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said, "Don't fear not, I bid you don't tell your great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill."
Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord hath made known to us."
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known to all the saying which was told them concerning the child.
And all them that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We are the angels of the Lord.
This is WARM 88.5 FM. Tune in tomorrow night for the conclusion of Christmas on the Air. Thanks for listening.
Cut. Well, it could have been better, but hey, this ain't Hollywood, so you guys did all right, I guess. Now remember to be back tomorrow night, same time, same place, and don't be late. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Is her name Ebenezer?
As in Scrooge? Don't mind her. You all did a super job. It couldn't have gone better. And I mean it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you working at the station.
This broadcast really means a lot to you, doesn't it, Mr. Miller?
It's been my annual ministry for the past 25 years. But I don't think the new manager is all that excited about everything she's inherited.
Well, I think it's a much-needed contest to Santa Claus and Rudolph.
Well, see you tomorrow evening. I'm off to Kohl's.
I'm going to hit the hay myself.
Well, that should be good for your career as a radio donkey.
Hee-haw. Good one for a bird brain.
Oh, what?
Hey, look at this. Here's one for sheep, one for dove, one for cow, and one for donkey.
I'm not touching that thing. It could be booby-trapped.
Come on, Rich, just a Christmas card.
Well, there is something stiff inside.
Wonder what it is.
It says, wishing you and yours a blessed Christmas, just like the first one. And here's the gift card to Old Town Jewelers. Expires on Christmas Eve.
Here, let me see that.
No, you can look at your own.
All right. Says the same thing.
Mine too.
That makes four of us.
Do you think the gift cards are any good?
Oh, they're good all right. Very good. Professional. Don't you see? It's a sales gimmick. They send out someone who looks like a mysterious stranger to pull in business on the biggest shopping day of the year. Brilliant. You probably get a genuine imitation of cubic zirconia.
You know, he's probably right. She didn't even stay to talk to us.
Of course I'm right. I'm always right. She's probably making the rounds every place this side of the street while someone else hits the other. Canvass a whole district so sales are up this Christmas.
Well, who knows? Might be worth checking out.
But the downtown stores are already closed tonight.
Well, there's always tomorrow.
Well, you can tell me what I missed. I'm not wasting a trip. You guys get some rest. I'll see you back in the stable tomorrow night.
I'm going to. Steph, do you need a ride?
No, thanks. My mom is picking me up.
Okay, well, night, everyone.
Good night, Joanne.
Oops, almost forgot my card.
Are you going to give it a try?
I don't know, Steph, but you should definitely check it out. Nothing to lose. Might be a 25% discount or something.
I think it would have to be more than 25% to help me out.
Okay, well, night, everyone.
Good night.
Y'all take care. Thanks again, Steph. Not a lot of college kids would be willing to get involved in a Christmas program over Christmas break.
I've really enjoyed it. I think the kids really understand Christmas. I guess it takes the faith of a child to simply put your trust in God.
Jesus said that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And then we still have one more night to go.
I wouldn't miss it.
Now you have your mystery gift card, don't you?
Yes, I do. Like Joanne said, I don't have anything to lose. Are you going home?
Oh, in a minute. The kids wanted me to listen to a new song they're working on with.
See
you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Great job, folks. Well, I think I hear my bed calling to me. Everyone get a good night's rest, and I'll see you back here on Christmas Eve. Good night, all. Merry Christmas Eve.
And the same to you. Are we all ready to gather around the manger?
The manger is all set up. We just need a few more talking animals.
Hey, have you ever thought of bringing in real animals so the sound effects are genuine?
Ever tried to make a real donkey bray on cue?
I see your point. Still, the realism would be something to hear.
Might be something to smell, too.
Hee-haw, bad idea. I visited the Deodor Dairy this fall. You ever gone?
No, but I grew up on a farm.
Really? You have all those tubes and machines to milk your cows?
Nope, just these magic fingers. You've seen the farmer's handshake, right?
No.
Here, lace your fingers together and hold out your hands upside down.
You really did grow up in a barn, didn't you?
Well, let's just say I visited the barn bright and early, every morning.
Tough life, huh?
No, not really. Tending cows and sheep and chickens, it's all part of God's provision.
Well, I... Hold on. Either of you two go to the jeweler's to try out your card?
Oh, I completely forgot about it.
I didn't get by there.
Me neither. I could just tear my hair out. Sales gimmick my eye. Tell him, Steph.
Well, I went to the jeweler's and just asked what the card was good for. And they said it really was a gift card with no limit to pick out whatever I wanted to buy. I was like, yeah, right.
Did you hear that, Rich?
So I started with a watch for my dad. I picked out a really nice one. I thought they would say it was too much. But they were like, nice choice, ma'am. What else would you like?
Did you hear that, Rich? A watch for her dad.
So then, for my sister, Jan, who has always wanted a strand of real pearls, I picked out a beautiful pearl necklace. The lady said, you have a very discerning eye, miss.
Did you get that, Rich? This sales gimmick bought her a pearl necklace for her kid sister.
So, for my mom, I thought if only I could get her a ruby ring. A ruby is her birthstone. So I picked out a beautiful ruby ring that was, well, it was worth more than I had spent on anything in my entire life.
Hold on. You got her a ruby ring?
Yeah. I could just scream. And when I asked who had purchased the gift card, they said that they had wished to remain anonymous. So I walked out of the store with three gifts wrapped in complimentary gift wrapping worth over
$3,000. $3,000?
Yeah. It's like a miracle. The one year we weren't going to have any Christmas presents, and now this.
Okay, this is really weird. Who was that woman? Why would she do a thing like that?
Face it, I had the opportunity of a lifetime, and I missed it because I was out buying stocking stuffers at the dollar store.
Oh my, what a Christmas story this will make for years to come. I'm so glad it was you who got to go, Steph, but we're not far from airtime, so we'll have to talk about it after, if that's okay.
I'm sorry, guys. I wish there had been time for me to let you know, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, just so you know, the donkey will be really grumpy tonight.
So will the sheep.
All right, you guys, 15 seconds till airtime, and this is the last act, so it has to be good. All right, we're on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're on the air. Hit it.
Let me see the shepherds.
Well, you can look for yourself, but you won't see them. They already left, and not too soon for me. They were so timid, you could hardly hear what they said.
Back to the hills to care for their flock.
But they were so happy. Did you see their eyes? Just imagine what they saw last night. Angels filling the sky with a shining light. And what they heard, glorious tones of angelic voices crying out, "Glory to God in the highest."
And what else did they say?
On earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
But then back to the hills, back to the sky they went.
But why did they come to shepherds of all people?
Back off the shepherd's cow.
No, I only mean, well, they aren't the famous or the wealthy. They're just simple folk who love and care for their flocks. Why would God announce the birth of his son to them?
Oh, I think I can answer. God uses humble things to accomplish his will. That way he gets the glory.
I still say it doesn't make any sense at all. The King of Kings makes his grand entrance onto earth in a humble manger surrounded by lowly animals and simple shepherds. Who could imagine such a thing?
Yes, who could imagine?
More than anything else, I wish I could have given something to the little family for the Son of God who was born so poor.
Yeah, but what would you have to give?
Well, I was going to give him some hay, but he doesn't have any teeth to chew it with.
Hee-haw, don't worry. His mother's making sure he won't go hungry. But I sure am starved. Could I have some of your hay, cow?
Bah! Stop thinking about your stomach, donkey. Cow, don't you realize the gift you've already given the baby?
Me? A gift for the baby? Really?
Whose food trough is he lying in?
Well, mine.
You gave up your manger so he could have a cradle.
I did, didn't I? He slept his first night in my manger.
And how about you, sheep?
What about me? I didn't give up anything for the baby.
I wish I had.
Oh, but you did cheat.
What did I give him?
You saw what they wrapped the baby in to keep him warm.
Well, that was just tufts of wool left over from shearing. No sacrifice.
But it came from you, and it kept him from shivering in the night.
It did help to pad his swaddling clothes in that rough manger.
Oh, I'm the only one who gave nothing.
You're forgetting the lullaby you sang so sweetly to him.
But that was just cooing. I do that every morning.
But it sounded so beautiful and soothing in the middle of the night.
I guess it was a strange time to sing.
Well, in case anybody cares to notice, I gave the baby something too.
You?
What did you give Donkey?
He would have never made it to Bethlehem if his mother had to walk here.
Oh, Donkey, our gifts cost so little, but you gave him something that cost you more than a manger, or a song, or even tufts of wool.
Really?
It's what any of God's creatures can give to him.
Me? What was my gift?
Obedience. If you hadn't been willing to walk where you were told, they never would have made it to Bethlehem.
If I gave the costliest gift of all, I guess I'm the greatest giver here. Hee-haw!
Donkey, obedience you have. Next thing we need to work on is humility.
Well, friends, we leave the lowly stable of Bethlehem now. Well, friends, we leave the lowly stable of Bethlehem now and journey back to our own town of Bethlehem for a final word this Christmas Eve. And now back to Mr. Miller, or better known as Mr. Cow.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, friends. Our story this week has been about the simple truth that God is the one that gave the greatest gift that was ever given. But very few people seem to notice that gift, and many folks are just too busy to care. So I came up with this little idea for an experiment of my own. I figured out a way to give three people I care about a very special Christmas gift. Each one of them received a gift card for a local jewelry store. But there was one catch. It had to be used by Christmas Eve, and I didn't tell them it was from me. Now I'm going to ask Joanne, who played the sheep, and Rich, who played the donkey, to please step up to the microphone. Joanne, could you tell the listeners why you didn't go by the jewelry store?
I don't know. I guess I was just too busy.
Well, do you mind telling us how you felt when you realized you had missed out on what would have been such a wonderful joy?
I guess I was, you could say, pretty upset with myself.
Rich, how about you?
Me? Well, I guess I just didn't believe it. Too skeptical, I guess.
Dear listener, you ask, why'd they miss out? They didn't know how much the gift was worth. Seemed too good to be true. Many people in our age have grown so busy with gift buying, while others have grown so skeptical that the simplest truth of Christmas is lost on them. Seems too good to be true. Jesus came because he loves you. He loved you so much that he died on the cross to take away your sins, and he wants you to be with him for eternity. Will you have the faith of a little child? Will you believe Jesus died and rose again? Are you willing to turn from your sin and self to live for him? If you are, you will experience the true joy of Christmas for the very first time, and you can worship Jesus just like Mary did that first night so long ago.
This program has been a production of WARM. We'll be right back for the conclusion of Christmas on the Air.
You all can go ahead and slip out. There's not much more to do.
I can't accept those gifts, Mr. Miller. They are far too much.
No, they're not, Steph. They're just enough to say how much I appreciate you working at the station. Joanne, Rich, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that the open limit was only good till Christmas Eve. The good news is that your cards will still be worth $50 if you use them the week after Christmas.
That's very kind, but you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I was a jerk who didn't, well, who missed out. I do have one question, though.
What's that?
Who is that strange-looking woman who is in here?
I'll have to tell her she looks strange to you. That was my sister Betty from over in Chester County. She's here for the holidays.
Oops, sorry.
I gotta hand it to you. I'd never been so surprised in all my life. But thank you for an unforgettable lesson in faith.
Yeah, and thanks for, well, everything. I'll never forget it either.
You're welcome. I couldn't have asked for a better cast for our children's program.
Only one problem.
What's that?
Now I really do feel like a donkey. Y'all.
and I followed you, dumb as a sheep.
Well, on that note, I think I'll fly home to my roost with the most generous Christmas presents I've ever received. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
This is WARM 88.5 FM, and now for the conclusion of Christmas on the Air.
Dear listener, thank you for joining us tonight, and I hope you've been blessed. Now, to close tonight's program, two little friends of mine have come to ask a very important question that I hope each one of us will ask ourselves. What can I give him?
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. This time, the men are going to put a pulpit up here for us. And I've asked Brother Kurtman if he would come and preach for us this evening to close the service. He had eight grandchildren up here. And so praise the Lord that for all the children. And thank you for each of the visitors here this evening. And Brother Kurtman, as soon as they're ready, we'll be ready for you.
Let's turn our Bibles. I just want to speak just for a few minutes, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Probably you've read this in recent days, and some of you even just today, and for all I know, the pastor has read this and preached from this already. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if he had. But in Matthew chapter 2, one of the great passages concerning our Lord's birth, and I was reading the back of the bulletin just a few minutes ago, and looking at the theme and the idea of a gift cards being given, and then people, you know, sometimes you lose a gift card. You have a gift card, you lose it, or for some other reason you don't use it, and that's a shame, that's a waste, that's really a terrible thing, especially the waste that's involved. But when we're talking about the Lord Jesus and the gift that he has provided for us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what is wasted there is not a few meals in a restaurant or a gift from some big box store, but what is gone to waste there and lost forever is the soul. And a person needs to be very, very sure that they don't neglect the gift of eternal life. And so I want to read from Matthew chapter 2, and maybe you'd like to stand with me for just these 12 verses, if you're able to stand. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be here tonight and to be able to have some part in this program. Thank you for the pastor, his gracious invitation to have this part here. And we pray that you would use it to your honor and glory, open every ear and every heart, even more tonight to the message from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he commanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea." They were very specific there, and there were more than one Bethlehem in that country, and this particular one in Judea is underscored here. "For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard this thing, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Please be seated. Now I just want to make 3 points here and call your attention to 3 things about this quest, this search of the wise men. It was quite a quest. They were longing for something. They were desirous of something, and that they had great, great reason to be. These wise men, they're called the Magi by people. They're, according to their own ancient history, at one time, these people were constituted a great warrior tribe among the Medes. And later on, in the process of time, they became a tribe not of warriors, but of holy men, of seers. And they're called in our Bibles wise men. And these wise men, we don't know how many they were, but people have conjectured that because of the number of the gifts, perhaps there were three wise men. That's not really the important thing. The important thing is that they were doing what is the most important thing anybody has ever done that's lived on this planet. And that is, they were seeking, with what knowledge they had, they were seeking the Christ that God had promised to send through the ages. Now, I said they were seeking according to what knowledge they had. They were making their quest according to a certain language, learning that they were in possession of. It's really interesting when you read the old historians, the Roman historians especially. There's one of them that, like a few others, that spoke of this common knowledge. We say it was common knowledge that people throughout the known world had of a prophecy that one day a great Savior and Deliverer would come into the world. And they knew that he would come into the vicinity of Judea. And they knew, based upon the prophecies of the Hebrews, a lot of other details about his coming. But across this world, people of every kindred, tongue, were anticipating the coming of this deliverer. And these wise men are operating on that kind of knowledge. I read that a Roman historian by the name of Suetonius had written this. He lived during the same early part of the same century in which Jesus was born. And that's what he said. He said, "There had spread all over the world an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for a man coming from Judea to rule the world." He wrote that in a biography that he wrote of one of the Roman emperors, Vespasian, and he wrote this prophecy, called attention to it. Tacitus was another Roman historian of antiquity, and he has in his writings, "At this time there was a firm persuasion that the East would grow powerful and that a ruler coming from Judea would acquire a universal empire." And so everybody that was knowledgeable in any way was looking, anticipating the coming of this great, great man that would come into the world and establish world government. Doesn't that sound familiar? God had said in his word, Isaiah said 700 years before Christ was born, "Behold, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he'll establish his reign and rule over the whole earth." Well, people were looking forward to this in this time. And this was a time of great turmoil, a time of great anxiety across the whole world. Governments were rotten, like this man Herod here, one of the most wicked rulers that ever lived. And religion was a hodgepodge of different beliefs, that people were falling into this religion and that religion in their quest for some satisfaction for their soul. And I want to tell you tonight, there are a lot of people tonight. Now listen to me very carefully. There are a lot of people tonight who have something missing in their heart, something they realize is all wrong with them, that needs to be corrected somehow, and they're on a quest somehow to find out what that is. Well, that's where these wise men come in. And this account here that we're looking at isn't a legend. It's a true-to-life, not non-fiction account of these men who were eager and an expectant part of this world that was watching for the coming of God's promised Savior. They were watching for it. They were anxious about it. They were reading and listening to anything pertaining to it. They, as I said, were eager for it. So they're operating, they're on their quest. We read about it right here, based upon a certain learning that they had, but also based upon that longing in their hearts. I can remember very well the time in my life before I was saved that I had a longing in my own heart. Nobody knew about it. Nobody was conscious of that but me. But deep down in my heart, I had a longing to know the truth about God and how things were going to turn out for me in eternity. I didn't know much about it, but I came to learn. I came to get some knowledge. You know how that happened? I was sitting under some preaching. I was hearing somebody preaching from this book, from this Bible, God's Word. And the answers began to be unfolded before me. Let me give you one right quick because I don't want to miss this. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Now, I like that word must. God, in God's heart, it's not a matter of it would be nice if people lost and dying in their sin and on their way to hell. It might be nice if they would be saved. No, in the heart of God, it's a matter of must be saved. God is not willing. I'm quoting directly from the scripture, God's word. God had this written in his words because he wants people to know it. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're lost tonight, God wants you to be saved. That's why Jesus came into this world. If you're on any kind of a quest tonight, or if something's been said in this program that started your mind and your heart to move in a right direction, Then you need to respond to that learning that you had. You know, God loves you. You're lost. Everyone comes to this world lost. If you never learned that, you need to learn that because it's the truth. Everyone comes into the world lost, and we all need a Savior. And the more you understand about that, the greater the longing is in your heart. These wise men had a great longing in their hearts based upon what they had found out. They knew their lost condition. They were looking for help. Amen. And so they're on this quest. And then, as we read this story, we find that they came to the end of their quest. Now, here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 13. You know what made the wise men wise? A whole lot of things. One of them is that they were seeking the Savior. That's the most important thing. I mean, there are a lot of people that in a lot of ways, and in terms of formal education and so on, might be, as they say, dumb as a stump. But there's nobody that's ever going to be any wiser than the person who realized they have a soul, they are a soul, and they need a Savior. And Jesus died for your sin. And that's why the prophet Jeremiah said, God said, you shall seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. If you want him, good news, you'll come to the end of your journey and the end of your quest. They did, and I want you to notice what happened when they found Jesus. I can relate to this. Everybody that's saved here can relate to this. It works the same way with everybody. When you get saved, you get happy. Amen. On your way to salvation, you get real sad because you're reminded of your sin. You're reminded that it was your sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross and die in your place. And you get real sad when that really sinks in. But then when you get saved, when you find him as your Savior, look what verse 10 says. The Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They knew that that star was located above as God said it would be. He would send a star, send some light. Hey, you're getting some light right now. When they saw the light, the Bible says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They got happy. Then you know what the next thing happened? It works this way with everybody when you get saved. They wanted to worship Him. As soon as they experienced this happiness at finding the Lord Jesus. Now you gotta, you just maybe take a minute and say, is this my experience? Was I ever brokenhearted about my sin? Did I ever go to God and acknowledge that I was a sinner and ask God to forgive me and to save me? Or did I just sign a card somewhere or polyparrot something somebody told me I ought to say? Have you really had the experience of finding Jesus as your own Savior? Amen. Have you known the joy that comes when you get saved? And when you, the joy of we'll call it homage, their worship. In verse 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and they worshiped him. When you get saved, things happen. Things change in your life. Before you get saved, you may not care if you go to church at all or you ever pray and thank God for anything, much less worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you really get saved, you want to worship Him. Amen. That's the way it works for everybody. And so you see their happiness and their homage, their worship. And then look at this, and this gets right to the program tonight. They broke out some gifts. Amen. Now, they started giving Him gifts. You know, when somebody gives a gift, there is a motive of some sort behind the giving of that gift. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin. It's a short verse with two big messages in it. The wages of sin, the payoff, the consequences, the outcome of coming into this world a sinner, as everyone does, and living your whole life a sinner and dying the same way you came into this world, just as much as a sinner that you ever were, the wages of sin is death. And that's not just physical death. That's eternal separation from God in hell. But here's the second part of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's just as simple as that. You know what the motive behind that gift was? Nothing but love. Just love. God didn't need anything anybody would ever be able to give Him. God gave His only begotten Son because of His love. God looked down on a lost world, and the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God had these gifts, these particular gifts recorded to teach us something about Jesus. Now notice just real quick, the Bible says one of the gifts they had was a gift of gold. You know what gold is a type of all through the Bible? It's a type of deity. That baby, that little baby laying there in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, the cheapest kind of material that you could buy, was none other than God. God had come into the world incarnate. Only God can do something like this. He came into the world and wrapped in human flesh. God did that. So He could go to the cross and die a sinless sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. That's what God did. Jesus is God. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just some ancient philosopher among the ranks of the Platos and the Aristotles and so. No, He is God. Amen. And that's why they presented Him with this gift of gold. It's always associated with deity, and it's associated with royalty. And then they gave him frankincense. Frankincense is a particular kind of spice. And if you read in the Old Testament, you'll find that God told them how to make the frankincense. And he had this specification. He said, this is something that shall never, never be used and given for the use of just men. It's for God only. It was limited to only to God, frankincense. So one of these wise men broke out some frankincense as a gift to the Christ child because they were in the know. They knew that he was God. You know, this week, already two or three times in different places, I've heard this song, Mary, Did You Know? I heard it played on a violin this morning. Mary, Did You Know? Well, the fact is, she did know a lot about this. Amen. Because she'd already been told, it'd been clarified for her, that this child she's bringing forth is none other than the Son of God, God himself, wrapped in human flesh. Amen. He was the Son of God that came in to this world. And so this is why we read this about the frankincense. There's no mistake about it. This Christ child that came into the world was God. God. Amen. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen God. And the third gift that we're told about here is the gift of myrrh. And that's something that is speaking about, something that speaks about his destiny. See, that gold, that's a type of his deity. That frankincense, that's a type of the devotion that should go to him. But this myrrh here was something that was used to in the process of burying people. It was a very specific, special spice that was mingled into burial clothing. And here's this little baby. By the way, those swaddling clothes, it's the same kind of cloth that they used to wrap up dead bodies. There's a message here. This little baby, that's really deity, that deserves everyone's devotion, has a destiny, and that destiny is an old rugged cross where he'll die for every man and every woman's sins. And this was the end of their quest. They found him, and it had quite an effect, because the Bible says in verse 12, our last verse, this was the effect of all of this. The Bible says they got a warning. Here they found the Christ child. You know, when you get saved, there's some things you ought to be warned about. And the Bible says in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. But let me just give you this warning. Now here's a warning. Anytime the gospel is preached, here's a big warning to remember. And the warning is this. And I'll give it to you right from God's own word. God says in his word, seek the Lord while he may be found. Now you're still alive, and so it's still possible for you to seek him and find him. Seek the Lord, God says, while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. It's not enough just to hear the gospel and say within your heart, I believe that. You got to receive him. You know, one thing I found out about a gift a long time ago is, in order to, a gift is meant for people to come into possession of. If Brother Pellicone or Brother McDowell came up here and carried up a big box of some kind, beautifully wrapped, and said, this is a gift for you, I could step back, look at it, examine it, and say to myself, I know that's true. That's for me. They want me to have that, and it's a gift. There's no price tag attached to it. But I could do all of that and still leave and go to my car and go home, and that gift's set here till the day I die. That's the way it is with God's gift of salvation. Here's a warning. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. They got a warning, and the warning was this: go back another way. And you know what they did, these people who had just found the Lord? They did just what the Lord had told them to do. They went back another way. Hey, you don't get saved and just run out and be just like you've always been before. You can't, because your nature's changed. Your wanters changed, as they used to say. Your desires, your heart has changed. You want to know more about him. You want to get closer to him. You're grateful for what he's done for you when he saved you. Amen. Have you had that experience? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, if any boy and girl be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Thank God they are. And all things become new. So they had a warning, and it was a warning that they received. They were wise men, after all. And then the last thing you see here is had this effect when you look at the way they returned. It says they returned to their own country, but they returned another way. When I got saved, I got up, and the next morning, I went back to the same old job that I'd been working. Had got off on the night before. I went back, same family, same place where I was living, all of that was the same. But I went back a different way. Amen. A different way. It started out like that after I got saved over 50 years ago. This great gift that God gives to you. Don't waste it. Don't hear about it and say, I'll think about it. Don't doubt it. Could this be true? Sometimes, once in a while, something that seems too good to be true turns out to be true. I remember days and weeks before I got saved thinking, the idea that God would save me, I was 21 years old. After 21 years of living as I've lived, I didn't put it this way, but this is the way I was thinking. It would just be too good to be true. And in different ways, I said to people who tried to talk to me and help me, it's just too good to be true. But one night, I just accepted God's gift by faith. And Lord, what else can I do but trust you? And I went and received his gift for myself. Amen. You know what I found out? It wasn't too good to be true. God saved me that night. He saved millions of people the same way. And he'll save you if you'll receive his gift. Amen. The real thing. Don't just be an empty package pretending like you got a gift that you've never received. But receive him. I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor McDowell.
Turn to hymn 163, only trust him, hymn 163. Is worth all we
share it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for the
message.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for your goodness. And thank you, Father, for the greatest gift that's ever been given. And Father, I pray that no one in here has taken that gift for granted. And Father, I pray that we recognize what you've done for us. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Father, I pray that you help us to understand and grasp just a little bit of that love that you have for us. Father, as we go about in this season when so many, the majority of those around us are focused on the commercialized idea of Christmas, Father, I pray that we would recognize, Father, the greatest gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if anyone in here is lost, Lord, or have deceived themselves, Lord, and believe that they've received that gift, but they truly haven't, Lord, I pray that you convict them, Lord, show them their need of salvation before it's eternally too late. I will thank you for what you'll do. I thank you, Father, for the children and the work that they put in. I pray you bless them for ministering to our hearts today. And I pray that you continue to open their hearts as they grow up, Father, that they would follow you with their whole hearts, that they would serve you, and that you would use them mightily throughout their lives. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.